Hello, I'm Robert Ringham.
I'm Landis Blair.
And this is a very short one-off podcast about the beauty of notebooks. I'm a writer, Landis here is an artist, and we have got through some notepads in our time. Although, funnily enough, I think one of my first observations actually is that's an absolute lie, what I just said, because actually a lot of people buy me notebooks as gifts.
Yes.
It seems like a really obvious thing. They probably think, oh, he must be making notes all the time. But in fact, I just never do. I have this weird survival of the fittest policy where if I'm having ideas and I think, yeah, oh, that's a good idea, I just don't bother writing it down. I think if it's good enough, it's a survivor.
Mental notebooks.
Mental notebooks, exactly. Yeah. Which, well, they're free. They're free. You don't have to pay for them.
Free. Well, they're free. People give them to you too.
Oh, that's true.
But it's a lot of work to get through a notebook.
That's right. You get a sort of like notebook anxiety in a way because somebody gives you this notebook, and especially if it's a particularly beautiful one.
Yeah.
You think, you know, oh, you're going to have to fill this up cover to cover, and like, you know, not even waste a single sheet.
Yeah.
So there's a kind of dread there as well. Do you get the do you get like the first page dread as well?
I do, yes. And I have heard some other creatives that say that they do. I can't remember what they specifically did, but someone, whenever they started a new notebook, they knew something they were supposed to do on the first page so that they'd never have to think about it, and they would just do it.
Oh.
And then they turn the page, and then they could actually get started. And so it was kind of a...
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
It actually, weirdly, it reminds me of two things. That the closest I did to that was... Linda Barry, the cartoonist,
yeah,
she says when drawing you have to keep your hand moving, and so she says she just
does
the alphabet. She just writes the alphabet out before she starts.
Yes.
And funnily enough, on one of my most loved notebooks, that was what I actually did on the first page.
Oh.
But that reminds me of the philosophy of that reminds me of another Linda Barry thing, which is when she's doing public speaking,
yeah,
she starts by singing. Because she says, no matter what happens after that point, you've already done the most embarrassing, terrifying thing. So everything that happens next will be fine. So it's a pretty good way to get started.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Well, I guess the singing doesn't work, but the alphabet, that's not a bad way to start the...
Maybe that should always be the way we'll start our notebooks.
I guess I have started...
I just draw a great big cock. A great big penis on my... I think that would sort of set the tone for the rest of it.
You don't have to think about it.
It's pretty bad. That's the first thing I thought of, but
well,
pretty predictable.
I've started, I guess, putting like just a monogram and a date when I started it, and then when I finish it, I'll put the date when I like the last page.
That's beautiful. That is really nice.
But I mean, so I'll do it. I guess I did.
A lot of podcast audio files hate it when you move things around on the table. But actually, I think this is the one podcast where that's not only acceptable but should be encouraged. Because listen, this is the sound of notebooks. I'm really sorry I interrupted. You were saying, you do your monogram on the first page, and that just gets the first page out of the way.
Yeah, but I think it's more of a legalistic thing for me that I feel like it makes it official, and then I like knowing the date I started using that one and the date I finished, because I oftentimes have different notebooks at the same time.
Yeah.
And so then that way I can put them in order even if they overlap.
So you archive all of your notebooks.
Sort of. I mean, I have a shelf at the submarine captain's house.
Yeah.
That...
This is a mutual friend, I suppose. just for the listeners understand.
Yes.
Not an actual submarine captain, but yeah.
Right. Yes.
It's Landis's imaginary friend.
But there's a one shelf that they're all in, but they're not necessarily in sequential order, but I know I could put them in order if I...
Ah, cool. Obviously I don't do that. Part of my minimalist philosophy is to not... I mean, this whole conversation is going to be about fetishizing notebooks, so you can see that I'm in two frames of mind about it, because I don't keep my notepads. That's partly because some of the gift ones I've been given, I think in my true heart I don't like them. That I've been given notebooks that I don't enjoy looking at, and so actually what I do is I make the notes, and then when the note is expired, I tear the page out and throw it away, which is pretty ruthless. But I am always a little bit covetous of people like yourself who do the archive thing, and my friend Tim, who travels He writes his travel journals as he goes in little notebooks, and he's kept them all. He's got a shelf full of these little gorgeous...
That's beautiful,
I think they're all the same notebook, too.
See, that's... So they're all uniform and...
Yep. Pretty good.
That is... Because yeah, that was kind of always the dream of mine, like, to have a uniform one, but then it just didn't happen because, like you said, people give you notebooks. And then at some point, I realized, though, I kind of like the diversity, though, now, that there's, there's some uniformity, but there's different colors and different sizes, and so it's...
have you convinced yourself you like the uniformity?
I've lied enough to myself. Because at one point, at some point it was a cost basis. When I was starting with notebooks, if someone gave you a really nice hardcover notebook and it was, green, you weren't going to throw it away.
because it was an expensive thing for them to buy, and it's a beautiful thing in its own right.
Yes.
So,
and I wouldn't want to waste my own, $15 to
replace, to basically buy your own uniformal one.
Right.
Yeah.
To buy the same one in black or...
I mean, we should all be looking for diversity, I suppose. But there is also something appealing to just, like the Landis Blair notebook library, which will be like the same basic model notebook. And then, you get those people, don't you, when the model that they love has been discontinued, they go out and they buy like all the remaining ones.
Yeah.
Isn't there somebody that you know who bought all the last supplies of a particular kind of ink? Or did I...
Oh, it was Charles Schultz. The pen nib. So he bought the remaining stock company. He called them, and then he
bought up the final 50 boxes or 500 boxes. Oh god, that's so crazy! Oh my goodness! And of course, the risk is you won't even use them all. Like, you'll die with half of them left, and then someone unearths it.
Well, then what's the good thing to do? Do you destroy them? Because you wouldn't want someone to get attached to those few remaining boxes and then not be able to.
It's so crazy, but hey. We're all creatures of habit, and that's a nice segue, because I can see on the table in front of me, I can see that Landis's notebooks are all different sizes, but they're all black, they all have rounded corners, they're moleskins, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Ah, moleskins. Wonderful. Moleskin being, of course, the king of notebooks.
Although... I guess we'll discuss that. Are they actually the king of notebooks?
Yeah. Well, it's debatable, isn't it?
Because you, in front of you, Rob, there are not any... there's a paper black square
with
multiple colors, and then there are two, I guess, just kind of chapboard colored... Those are both Muji, then?
These are both Muji.
Okay.
So I've got a spiral-bound Muji with sort of a really hard, like, cardboard cover.
Yeah.
And I've got a small Muji that's sort of a pocket-sized notebook with just a perfect bound spine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And full disclosure, I adore Muji. Like,
yes.
Muji to me is a real pilgrimage. So if there isn't one in my city, there isn't one in Glasgow. But so whenever I go to another city, if I go to, I was in Berlin last week, if I'm in New York or London, I always go, I track down the Muji. It's sometimes the main thing that I do on a trip. So, I'll be there for something. I'll be there for maybe a job or because, I've got some pretense, but really the secret reason is I want to go to the Muji. I want to stock up on all my favorite bits and pops. It's the only thing I'm excited about as a consumer. Again, minimalist, I'm not into buying a load of crap, but when it comes to Muji, I do have a bit of a penchant for it.
Okay.
And so notebooks, yes. I was disappointed with my first Muji notebook.
Oh, you were? Why?
Well, the first one I had was, I forget the exact size, but it's not quite A4. It's perfect bound at the top. And the quality of the paper's really nice. It's quite smooth, and it has... The lines are slightly tighter spaced than your conventional notebook.
Oh.
And also, there's no ruling on the back of the paper, so you don't feel obliged to write on the back, which is, of course, just a terrible thing. But I was disappointed because I'd only used two sheets, and the front cover fell off. The front cover was like a kind of acetate, a see-through acetate with a kind of frosted... frosted finish to it, like a matte finish, and I was really in a total adoration of it. And then the cover fell off after two sheets were used. So that's my first Muji review is bad, unfortunately, for a brand that I'm just in love with. But so far, all of my other Muji notebooks have been good.
What did the? I'm wondering, did the cover fall off because it were the pages in that big one supposed to be detachable?
The pages are supposed to be detachable, but I'm pretty certain the cover shouldn't be.
Oh.
And actually, when the cover does come off, the kind of tape that binds it is left kind of sticking up, which to me confirms that that's supposed to be folded over the cover perpetually, and then you tear the pages out as you go along. Which, so to me, that should have been the ideal pad, but failed the Rob test.
So
the Rob test being using it.
well, did you pitch it or did you?
I did. I threw it away. But I think maybe if I didn't know I was going to another Muji next week, I probably would have soldiered on. I tried to repair it. I used just Pritt stick, like a glue stick, to repair it, but it just fell away immediately. It was totally useless, and then it was all gummy with glue. So. It was extra horrible.
So what about the these two new ones you have?
Yeah,
gotten a better rating.
Yes, and spiral binding for me is a new thing. I never used to like it because I think it was something to do with when you tear it off, it doesn't tear away clean. There's always bits.
Right.
But actually, this time around, it's not really bothering me, and I love the freedom of being able to just fold the whole thing over.
Right.
You don't have to. It doesn't feel like you're working inside a cover.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be the little bits from the...
Stop tearing out pages.
I also love how hard the cover is.
Yeah.
It just feels like a... I don't know how to describe why I like that.
That's a nice rigidity. That's at the...
It's a good rigidity. This is it. Like, we're saying we're notebook enthusiasts, but we don't even know...
we don't know
how to describe the cardstock. I know the word cardstock.
That is the... Yeah, we should know the... proper weight of this cardstock, but it's thick.
I was realizing we were running the risk of being one of the most boring recordings ever committed to the internet, but so maybe that was where we draw the line. This is about our passion for it, not the technicalities.
Right. If we knew the technicalities, we wouldn't enjoy them.
No. So, but I like what you have here. I like your four different incarnations of the moleskin.
Yeah.
Are they the same? Are they all just ruled?
No. They're all blank. Well, three are blank. Then this is my calendar, actually, notebook. It's kind of silly that I have this many, but I keep them for different purposes because if I'm walking around, and I don't want to bring my bag, then I'll put one of the smaller ones in my pocket. But this one's almost too big. But this, if I'm going to a bar or a coffee shop, I know I can actually make notes in this or sketch, and it's useful. Whereas this itty-bitty one, it's like business card size. It's not really that practical to write things, but you can. And so I tend to put this one in my pocket if I'm going out with people. It's just in case
The idea of those little tiny ones, but actually I've bought them before
yeah.
and I never even write one thing in it.
Oh,
so they just end up looking all chewed up where I've been shoving it into my ass pocket and then I just end up throwing it away getting another one. So not writing. No, I don't do that. I don't have any little ones now.
Well, I don't... I guess this one I have... Well, this shows you how much I've used this one
in
the last 2 months.
That's two sides, folks. A little doodle on the first page. So not even your monogram. That's why.
Well, I have used these better, but the pages are detachable, which is nice.
Are they perforated?
I use this more.
Is that a moleskin feature? Do they all do that? Or?
The style that are soft cover, usually like the back 15 pages.
Oh, right.
But then I think all of them in this one are.
I didn't know that.
But so I actually use this more for tearing out pages if you need to make a note and then. But.
We're going to talk in a minute about whether Moleskine is the king of the notebooks or not, because we've got a list here of other popular brands.
Yes.
But I did just want to ask first. You're an artist, so do you principally use your books for doodling? So far, you've only talked about note-taking. Why do you suppose... Well, no, that's not a fair question. It's just, I guess all I'm asking is, do you use notebooks for doodling?
I do, yeah.
Is it part of your creative practice, or is it a totally separate thing, just for brain droppings?
brain droppings, yes.
If we had a podcast series, it could be called Brain Droppings.
Yeah. So if there's anyone out there that this is not the most boring, or you just like the most boring podcast in the world.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. We have full respect for people who we like boring things.
So we will make more boring things for you if You have nothing else to do.
I can't wait for the podcast about screws, staples.
Now there's a topic.
Don't get me started.
My brain
droppings.
I do sketch and doodle in them, but for me, I see them, like, the note taking as being just as important, and they're kind of intertwined.
Uh huh.
And so.
Oh, your notebooks are so beautiful.
Oh, well.
This is why you have to keep them and archive them nicely, because one day when, I mean, you're famous now, but when you're really famous, you can auction these for so much money. Oh, these are exquisite. Guys, they're full of, oh my goodness. I can see prototypes of all of these famous characters, like the envious siblings are in there, the anemones in there. It's absolutely amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's why it's worth spending the money on the moleskins. It's worth getting a beautiful book, because this is why. You're filling it with loveliness. It would be terrible. It would be awful if you were just writing on the back of cereal packets.
I just realized how appropriate this is, you exclaiming with the listener not being able to see, because I made a choice about, like, 5 years ago at one point after a bad experience with my mother, like, that I was just not going to show people inside of my sketchbook, unless I offered it for some specific reason that I would not show them and keep it hidden.
I understand, because, well, what's in a notebook is almost like raw mind, isn't it? It's not ready for public consumption. So it's the same with mine. The things in my notebook are appalling because they're not even half baked. They're like a 1/8 baked. And so, you know, it's not really for other people to see. I'll give you a very, very brief glimpse from a distance, so you can't read the words, but you can see the neatness. Would you like my diagram?
I do like your diagram.
I do a diagram.
You have very nice handwriting.
Oh, there we go. That's my real handwriting.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you? Because it's the first few pages.
There's pressure.
So what Landis is referring to here is, on my first few pages, it's really tight, capitalized printing. But then about page five, it's just all the scrawling of the madman. Yeah, I tried hard for the first two. It's a Muji notebook. I'm not going to just shit all over it. Well, that's what page five is for. and my other notebook here that's not a Muji is the multicoloured block for just note-taking. So the idea is you write on the top one, tear that off and throw it away.
Yeah.
That was a gift from my partner, Samara, but the real story is the shop it comes from is a great shop in Montreal, on Park Avenue, Montreal, and the shop's called Nota Bene.
Okay.
And it really is just a candy store for notebooks. It's just got brands you've never heard of that they've imported from, you know, Asia, and all the iconic ones, obviously, like Moleskine and Field Notes and what have you. But funnily enough, the last time I was in there, I heard an American fellow asking if they stock Muji notebooks, and the proprietor said, no, they won't let me have them. They're the one thing I can't get. So I guess Muji are being careful about who stocks. I mean, Muji should send their notebooks to Nota Bene.
Yeah.
I think they'd be popular there, and then they can put their notebooks in against all the greats, you know, like it could compete with Moleskine on its own territory.
Well, but it's okay, maybe this is the segue to Moleskine, though, because that what you just said about Muji, that makes me more impressed with them and more curious about them because of the exclusivity, whereas
it's almost like the Apple store or something.
Whereas Moleskine, the design is you know, excellent, and everyone recognizes them, and it's a status thing, but you can get it almost any train station. I mean, like a train station or an airport, or
that's true.
Well, probably not a grocery store, but I see them all over the place. And
is the ubiquity a good thing for you? Because in a way, it's good because it's accessible. You know, you can always get a replacement notebook or an additional.
Yes.
Whereas if you were committed to Muji, you'd have to make sure you live near a Muji
Exactly. That's. It is a comfort now.
In Berlin, the big Muji store is next door to a Moleskine store, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like neighbours. And I went into the Moleskine store and just tutted at everything, and then went into the Muji. It was actually terrible because they weren't stocking the classics. What they had in that branch was really gimmicky notebooks, like pop culture. They'd have like a Doctor Who one and a Game of Thrones one.
See, that's...
I thought it was kind of tacky. But, you know, they got to do what they got to do to make money. But
I guess so.
It seemed kind of sad to me. And there's so few things in there. It's really Spartan.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm sure they have a lot of stock. But when you go in, there's like two examples of everything. And it feels really luxurious. But actually, what they're selling is kind of lowbrow. Like, okay. It's like you get a Lannister, you know, a Game of Thrones notebook. And, you know, it didn't strike me as... It's cool. He wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I like plain.
I just
I like boring books things. Plain.
So, but that plainness, I mean, like the like, so the black ones are just the plain, even if they're, I guess, colors, but I think that's part of the appeal about the Moleskines is the ubiquity that they're everywhere. They're durable, but yeah. Then also they have a utilitarian feel. Like they seem like kind of almost like kind of industrial or like military grade, like if they're you're going to send or a scientist off to an expedition, you send them with, you know, a stack of these super durable field notebooks to.
So for you, it's almost talismanic because of what it represents.
Yeah, it's an object that will last, because I'm not that gentle with my notebooks.
And well, sure, you like the durability, but you're saying it's like what you'd send off an archaeologist with or something.
Yeah.
And it sort of makes you feel like you're a... I mean, you are a craftsperson, well, but at the same time, it sort of represents that. So that's nice.
Yeah, legitimate. Yeah, like as opposed... You know, just look-wise, to your Muji ones here with kind of the plain cardboard covers, they don't... They look very utilitarian, but they look to me like something you'd pull out of the kitchen to write your grocery list on.
Yeah, and that's what I use that one for, pretty much. Well, actually, that's not true. The one you've got there is for writing ideas, but no, it's not my favorite one. And I think I'm going to convert to the spiral bound. That's my big discovery. but yes. But the other thing about the little Muji one, €1. That's what that costs. I think even the big Muji is like €2.50.
Oh, okay.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
How much was your equivalent passport? By little Muji, I'm talking passport sized.
Yeah.
So what's the Moleskin?
Well, actually, these come in a... You get them in a set of three.
Of course. Yeah, I've seen them.
I think it's like $10. It's like $8 to $10, I think, depending on...
Okay, that's pretty good.
So I guess it's like $3 each.
So it's a little more, but it's maybe a nicer thing.
Although this one is more durable, like for this passport size one.
Yeah.
The Muji one is...
I think the fact that they're cheap kind of gives me permission to sort of throw them around and just write any old rubbish in them and throw them away when I'm tired of using it. I think they'd be less disposable to me if I bought an expensive notebook. I see why you use them.
I have another question then, because I do know some people, or I have known people, that make their own notebooks, which I think is really neat, but it's also time-consuming, but kind of an extension of that. I had this, there's one time when I was traveling, and I lost my Moleskine, my little passport-sized one, but I still wanted to take a notebook, like it was a wedding, and there was a bunch of events over a couple of days, and so I had some, like a couple sheets of cardstock white paper in my bag to draw on, and I started, I ripped the page in half and then folded each of those halves into fours, and then I just would slide one of these halves folded into fours in my back pocket, and then so it ended up being about this size. Of this, like business card size, but then I ended up filling up a couple of these, and there was something really kind of like what you were saying about the cheapness. Like this was a throwaway that it felt really special.
I think Kurt Vonnegut wrote a whole book like that.
Oh, really?
I don't know how true it is, but it's the introduction to, I think, Breakfast of Champions, which is one of his more famous ones. I'm sure he said it was written on the backs of receipts and business cards and cereal packets and even like the blank pages out of other books that he tore out. I might be getting that slightly wrong, but someone will tell us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think I'm pretty sure it was Breakfast of Champions. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and even if he wrote that, it's not necessarily true. But I think that's the legend of it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's really admirable, making your own. And to be honest, that's what I would be doing if I didn't have this fetishized idea of notebooks. Muji. Well, frankly, Muji, but also notebooks like that. Not a Bene store.
Yeah,
honestly, I could just look around for hours and hours come out with one notebook because I'm a cheapskate and I don't need notebooks as it's already been
but
said.
But you like looking at them.
But I do like looking at them. I like fingering the goods. So we found this review on the web written by a guy called Sean Flanagan.
Okay.
And Sean Flanagan, I think, is one of the people who actually set up Etsy.
Oh.
We didn't know this at first. The reason I found this is because I Googled Muji notebook reviews.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to know if anyone else was whinging about the one that I was disappointed by.
Yes.
So this guy, Sean, he starts off it's a huge blog entry reviewing all of his favorite notebook brands. And it starts off by saying, for all the dorks like myself, your words, Sean, not mine, who obsess about notebooks, this post is for you. We should have said that at the front end of this recording, really.
Yeah.
So the first one, he goes into his, obviously, Moleskine. And he's saying, let's get this out of the way. Moleskines are vastly overrated. What do you think of that? I feel like you're really under attack, but for no reason. No reason at all. Because it's your own business and people should mind their own.
Yeah,
and B, Moleskines are wonderful. They are wonderful.
I think they are wonderful. And actually, as I'm looking at his minuses here for... Well, unoriginal, I think.
What does
that's
that even mean?
Yeah,
they are original.
They're
well, there wasn't anything like a Moleskine before a Moleskine.
Well, and it's with the rounded corners. There's a really nice quality about it.
The rounded corners, they look nice, and when it's in your pocket, it's not jabbing you in the nuts.
Right. Well, and the elastic band.
Yeah, and I didn't even know about the perforations.
And then they have the bookmarks too. The
The lace.
Yeah,
cool.
Or I should say, certain ones do.
Yeah, just the bigger ones, right?
But also, he's talking about the low-quality paper, which I get with...
I can't believe that's true. Can I feel the...
I mean, you can
feel... That's pretty good. That's better than my Muji one. Actually, they're very similar.
But if you get the sketch ones...
That's the most boring line so far in this. Actually, those two types of paper are very similar.
that's
very different.
Completely different.
So he says they're unoriginal, low-quality paper that can't handle fountain pens, so pen nerds shun them. Now, you are a self-confessed pen nerd. You like pens probably even more than you like notebooks.
I probably do, yeah.
You are a patron of the, or one of the co-chair.
Co-founder of the North American Writing Utensil Museum.
Or NAUM.
NAUM, yeah. Which is located in Waukegan, Illinois, kind of just outside of Chicago.
The point is, it's in its infancy. It's starting
yes,
out,
it's
but,
just starting,
but
yes.
You guys are accumulating writing implements from all over the world. So you're
correct.
A pen nerd, so you speak with authority on this. So do you think that Moleskines cannot handle fountain pens?
I will say, as far as the sketch ones, like I just showed you with the thicker paper, no problem at all. But with the regular ones, it does bleed through. But
okay.
That didn't stop me. But what I would just kind of, because I'd be using both sides of the paper. If I used fountain pen on one side, I would tend to use. You'd just do writing on the other side.
I can't imagine there's many people filling out those little notebooks with fountain pens.
I can't either.
That notebook's designed for carrying around in your back pocket. And you'd fill it out with ideally a little spaceman pen or an IKEA pencil or something, just a little pointy thing.
Wait, spaceman pen?
What do they call like gravity pen or something? You can write upside down with them. And they're just a handy miniature pen.
Yes,
but they're not fountain pens. So sorry, Sean, we disagree with you on that one. I think personally, so far Moleskine is unchallenged. Now the first challenger. Is Muji.
Oh.
So Sean writes of Muji notebooks. They're free of artifice, also cheap. Many of their notebooks are $1. Yep, that's what I was saying before. And minuses, very few, he says.
Oh.
Available in New York at the MoMA store, Muji Soho, and inside the New York Times building.
He's not informed.
So I wonder where he's based. I've been to none of those. I've been to a Muji at Times Square.
Okay. I walked by the one in Soho, but it was closed. At least I think it was the one in Soho. Well,
no notebooks for you.
So as
discussed, there are some disadvantages. I think I like their cheapness.
Yeah.
I like their style. They all have a kind of matching look. They've got the cardboardy kind of finish. But I think, although they're my preference,
yeah,
I still don't think they can usurp the Moleskine as King of the Notebooks.
Okay.
So the next challenger is Rodia. Are you familiar with these at all?
I've seen them. I've not used one myself.
But, yeah, I've fondled them in Nota Bene. And they're very chunky.
You naughty.
How dare you. They're very chunky. They're about a centimetre thick.
Yeah.
But they're quite small. There's not much real estate on them.
Yeah.
And they've got a very... Probably their most striking feature is they've got a really... deep staple, a single staple in the middle of the top. So they're top bound by a single staple that goes all the way through.
Okay.
And I don't like that because it's like the... It just makes me uncomfortable. It's like the edge is going to come curling up, and it feels like the cover should be torn off.
Yeah.
But that would be bad because the page will be all crinkling around. Right. So I'm afraid I'm not. I haven't used them. So full disclosure, I haven't used them. But I have. I've also deliberately not bought one.
I think it's also a little suspect that one of the pluses listed is that orange.
It's orange. Yeah. What's so good about it being orange?
I mean, orange is nothing against it, but I don't think that.
And apparently, they're endorsed by poet blogger Ron Silliman. Well, I mean, I'm very happy to take the endorsement of someone called Silly Man. But I mean, I'm sure there's something going for them. But the minus here says too clunky for portable use, which is a big downside.
That is a big downside. That defeats the purpose of a portable notebook.
I think it does. So Moleskine remains unchallenged. Challenger number four, Apica notebooks. Now, this used to be my favorite notebook.
Oh, did it?
In absence of Muji. So there was no Muji in Montreal where I used to live.
Okay.
And there's very few even nearby. I don't think there's one in Toronto. And this one's opened up since. So there's just no Mujis for miles around until you get to New York.
Okay.
So I was using Apica, which I would buy from Nota Bene. I'd actually buy them for Nota Bene. So these are the ones I chose over all the others.
Okay.
That suggests they're probably cheap.
Yes.
So I seem to recall they were maybe about $3 Canadian, so probably almost €2.
Were they about the passport size? Or
they were the ones I chose were passport size, but they come in like the probably the 4 or 5 main sizes you'd expect, like the standard Moleskine sizes. But they're very skinny. That's something I like about them. So there's probably about, you know, not 100 pages in them. There's probably like 60 pages, and they're thin and floppy. And that's kind of exciting because if you lose it, you haven't lost so many notes. You can. They're not designed to have the pages torn, but it feels like you can. They feel like something you can fling around. They feel like a TV guide or something. Like you could just throw this across the room, and that wouldn't be too disrespectful.
Yeah.
But the nicest thing about them is there's a bit of that they're made in Japan.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of funny English writing on the front cover in beautifully typeset capital letters, and it says, "Most advanced quality gives best writing features and gives satisfaction to you," which can't really be argued with. And I think that was the biggest charm of them. Also, the I don't know if it's made of recycled paper or what, but the cover is it's white, but it has a kind of mealy kind of grain in it.
Oh, it almost looks like American dollar bills that have the fibers in the paper.
Yes, that's it. It's like fibers. It's like fibers in the paper. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's just unusual. I don't recall it being textured. You can't feel the fibers, but it just adds a bit of something. Though looking at that picture now, it looks dusty.
Like it does look
dusty.
You want
to like blow it off. So the minus that Sean has mentioned is their portable model, the CD5, is a bit too small for serious note-taking. Now, I don't know which one the CD5 is, but if you're talking passport-sized, that's kind of... I like that.
That's the right size,
That's the size that you and I both like in our Muji pads and our Moleskines. So, what do I think? I can't quite bring myself to say it's better than Moleskine, but there's something very, very likeable about it. I think so far, that's the best contender.
Well, I think partly that with that slogan, they're branding themselves. I mean, I guess like Moleskine is branded that you can always tell immediately it's a Moleskine. I mean, I guess you could, from what you're saying about Muji, but
you can see a Moleskine from across the room.
Yeah,
you can tell a Moleskine from space.
Well, so I'm assuming then as long as you see advanced quality gives best writing features and gives satisfaction to you written on something, you're just going to assume it's one of these notebooks.
Absolutely. Well, are you saying we should just write on all sorts of things?
Well, like, yeah, maybe you should test
graffiti it on the side of a bridge or something.
I was wondering if you'd handwrite it on your Muji book and see if you like it better or...
But it's also the typography, like the lettering is just really pleasant. Like it's just nicely printed, nicely spaced capital letters. I think that might be my favorite so far.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, just because it's my favorite doesn't mean it's better than Moleskine.
Well, I think to be fair, we should be comparing like the passport size Moleskine with that
with the Muji and with the
with that.
My favorite of the three is Apica.
Okay.
It's got to be said.
And I've not seen one, but from what you've described, I can see the benefits of it.
From what I remember, the paper inside is very soft. The Muji is maybe a little coarse and a little heavy by comparison.
Okay.
The from what I remember, the Apica, I might even be not pronouncing it correctly, but what I call Apica is pretty, it's nice soft paper.
Okay.
But not too soft. It's not like a Gideon's Bible.
I was just thinking...
Were you thinking the same thing?
Yeah, about the notebook.
Where you could tear out a Deuteronomy and blow your nose on it. Is Deuteronomy an Old Testament?
Yes. Oh, yeah, so it wouldn't be in...
It wouldn't be in the Gideon's. Oh, well. Oh, Bible fail.
You can tear out Second John or something.
The next brand that Sean is mentioning is something called Michelrius. Michelrius? Yeah, I have never heard of that. He says it's Barcelona-based. First came to attention as the platform for Bill Westerman's paper-based time management software. Okay, pluses like Moleskine, but much more flexible with higher quality paper. Minuses, won't lay flat. Owners of the most annoying website in the world. Well, actually, I have followed that link, and it doesn't work. There's no website, so they've either gone bust or they've taken their website down.
Okay.
Do you think Sean disrupted their industry? Do you think this bad review made them just pack up? Maybe it was the final insult that made them pack up shop. We can't compete with Moleskine.
That he had an agenda.
So... An agenda?
Yes.
Was it a Moleskine agenda? It wasn't even one of his own. The next brand discussed here is something called Tyler Bender, and these look like little hardback books. So the example pictured says How to Study Physics, and it looks like a nice old book that you'd put on the shelf. Never seen these. It is the minus that's mentioned here is hard to come by. And that you should buy them from the guy's Etsy store. No conflict of interest or anything there. But funnily enough, I got an email today from Slightly Foxed, who are this... they're a magazine about books, and they used to have a bookshop in London, and they also have like a books imprint.
Yeah.
So the main thing they produce is a magazine. They also produce books, and they're beautiful hardback books. But for Christmas, they've just started doing notebooks... that look like their own Slightly Foxed editions. And they're pretty... I haven't tested it, so I can't say for sure, but pretty gorgeous. They are about £15, though. Although I think they're probably an inch thick, so it's a lot of paper.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
The problem... The thickness is a problem. Even looking at the picture of this Tyler Bender one, it's just not... It's nice to have, because I've had really thick sketchbooks before in the past, and it's both, it's depressing because it takes forever to get through, and then also it's so inconvenient to carry anywhere, because I just recently shifted to this smaller size, even if it was this thickness, I had them like this big, but even that is, it's so much harder to pack, and so imagining some, you know, I think there's only been once when I carry around a sketchbook that was... an inch or a little thicker than an inch.
Oh, it's such a headache, isn't it?
It was a nightmare. I mean, I think I'd gotten it. No, I think I bought that one. No, someone gave it to me, and I felt guilty. It was a birthday present, and so I used every single page in it.
Oh, God.
And it took.
Do you see what happens when you buy an obsessive person something that could in any way conceivably be completed? That's going to just cause anxiety and problems, because me and Landis both feel the same way about that.
Yeah. So
Tyler Bender does not pass muster for us because it's too physically thick.
Because if it only works being at home, but that's not really when you
It's not when you most want a notebook. It's got to be portable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boo. Ecotica. Again, I have seen these in the aforementioned Nota Bene shop, and they remind me of a beer mat. It looks like they are square with rounded edges, and to me it looks like something you'd put your drink on.
Is it that size? Or is it bigger?
Well, there's probably different editions, but I suppose their equivalent of the passport size would be like a beer mat. It's spiral bound, though, so maybe I'll...
Well, what's your opinion on spiral bound? We talked about the edges, and you lay flat, but do you consider that an overall plus, or...?
I do now. So okay. I didn't used to. I think because the spiral bound ones I had were more like reporter's pads.
Oh, yeah.
So they're very thick. The paper is like toilet roll, and they're skinny at the top. So the top and the bottom are skinny, so it's like a landscape format bound at the top. And I never liked that.
Yeah.
And I never even understood why they were called reporter's pads, because it's not, you know, if you're a reporter and you're showing up at a trial or something, you don't want a pad that looks like... Surely you either want a big thing that's A4 that you can scribble all over, or a little one that's portable. It's kind of the no man's land of utility, where there's literally really no... It's not portable, and it's not luxuriously big either.
Yeah.
So I don't really get it. But... So I didn't used to like them, but actually this size, which is... It's like 15 centimetres by 10, so it's bigger than passport...
Yeah.
But not yet A5. This is just right. I really like it. And because of my tendency to tear the pages out as I go along, it's disposable. The only nasty thing, though, it hasn't happened since I refound my love for spiral bound. When you get down to like the last couple of sheets, there's something creepy about it. Like just this, there's just like this spine, this big spine. With like a centimeter thick.
Because you tear your pages out.
Yeah, but what are you supposed to... Yeah, that's why you have spiral bound, isn't it? No? The other thing I like about spiral bound is you can turn the page completely over onto the back, so then it's just out of your life and you can start on the next page.
But the problem I've always had with spiral bound is that the spine starts bending.
The
two ends, they start bending in.
Oh, as you carry them around?
Yeah, because I'm putting them in bags, and then after probably about halfway through it, then it doesn't open. The pages don't flip because all of the, you know, half of the spines are bent, and so then you're trying to like pull it around, and it's
shit. Just... I haven't come across that problem yet. Do you think that the heavy cardstock of the Muji covers will prevent that from happening? Or possibly not. No, it won't.
I don't think so. Because I think it's more just this. But the other thing is, it depends on how you carry it around. I think because that's. I mean,
I don't carry that one around at all. Is the thing that one just lives on my desk.
But you know, I should say too, with this, because this is the smaller size, I think it wouldn't be as much of an issue. Because what I'm thinking of was when I had them, they were larger, kind of a longer spine, and so there's more room for error.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that makes me feel good knowing you didn't have that issue, because I...
But it remains to be seen. This is early days with this. Tune in next time to find out. So what do we think about this Ecotica? I don't think that's going to rival Moleskine.
It's interesting, but I don't think...
Yeah. No. Ah, now here we have
Field Notes.
Field Notes. Surely they're a good rival to Moleskine.
Yeah, I've not actually used them. I've seen people use them, and I've held them in stores.
I have used them.
You have?
Yeah, I think they're quite nice.
Okay.
I like the rounded corners, so that's equal to Moleskine. Yeah. I like the typography on the front. The Field Notes logo is beautiful. It's just perfectly kerned. You know, it's just completely unbeatable. It looks like something from a Wes Anderson movie.
Yes, it does. Although,
actually, Shawnee Boy... uses that as a minus. He says, seemingly designed with Urban Outfitters in mind, tries too hard. He also says staple bound. Is staple bound? Do you think that's a problem? Because one of my Muji books here is staple bound. So is one of your Moleskines.
No, the Moleskine is stitched. Which is nice.
Stitching is better. Actually, I've got to say, the Muji is stitched.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Okay. Well, then maybe the
Ooh, Field Notes. Is that really a problem that it's stapled? Is it just maybe a little less luxurious than stitching? Is that what it is?
I would think with that passport side, it wouldn't really make a difference.
No.
I think that Gideon Bible we had the other day was staple bound.
Was it? Oh.
I can't remember.
That looks a lot like a Field Notes, though.
Yeah, it did.
That was strange.
Well.
Now there's something called Write in the Rain. I'm just going to completely ignore it.
Although, actually, don't, because I saw these in a survival magazine
what?
A number of years ago.
Okay.
And I was intrigued, but I couldn't think of them actually being any practical use unless I was actually trying to go out and take notes in the rain.
Survive a nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, but given recent news events, maybe we should all be stocking up on Write in the Rain, Field Flex notebooks. Are they Trump proof?
I think maybe the next version. Sturdy as hell, so maybe.
This guy really likes them. He says minuses none. So I think that might be Sean's favorite.
Well,
plus
can be words. Used in the shower. Well,
what's the point? Why would you want to?
I guess because people say they get their best ideas in the shower.
That's true.
But still,
I'm a convert now. I like it all of a sudden.
I mean, to me, without holding one and trying to actually write on it, it just seems like a complete novelty item.
It's a novelty item. Like, it's like the spaceman pen.
Yes, it's like the same spaceman thing. Pen.
Why would it be used in that context? It's like a waterproof watch. It's like, survives underwater for up to 25 hours if you want a really long bath.
And can't be bothered to take your watch out.
Oh, look at this one. This one's called Kiak, C-I-A-K. Kak, more like, I say.
Kak.
Because it's too thick for portable use, Sean says. Yeah. And I think I agree. And it's a horrible-looking thing. I don't like it.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, it looks like the way that the cover is all one piece wrapped around.
Oh, yeah.
Like a round spine. It looks like a wallet. Almost like a wallet, an overstuffed wallet full of coupons. Just, it looks like something from the chaos world. I don't like that. I like my notebooks to be on point.
But it's got that nice gold book ribbon going through it, doesn't it?
It does. That's pretty good. Although I've got to say, I think it looks a bit cheap. I think that's not as nice as the Moleskine one. It's not as nice as the ribbon in my book, Escape Everything, available from Amazon today.
Also available in German.
Also available in German. Now, the German edition doesn't have the ribbon, but it does have some very nice side flaps. So.
Well, if you buy the German edition, maybe if you send it to Rob, he'll install...
I'll staple one of my own shoelaces in touch for you, so you can keep your place.
Good.
This is Kokuyu Field Note is the next one. The brand choice for Japanese productivity junkies, apparently. Only available in Japan.
Look nice, though.
But I bet you can get them. And, you know, this guy, he's the founder of Etsy. He should know above anyone else that where it's available doesn't matter anymore. It's the internet age. Just ship it in.
Yeah.
So it'll take a little longer to get here, but who cares? It looks a bit like...
It looks like a Gideon Bible, kind of.
I think it looks like a creepy old man's address book. It looks like something next to a dusty old phone in a house where everyone's died.
It looks like a Humbert Humbert's notebook.
Humbert Humbert's creepy notebook.
Yeah.
So, no offense to Kokoyo Field Note, but you look like Humbert. You look like a paedophile's notebook. We endorse it. No, we don't. The next one is called Stiflexible by Mazzuoli.
I'm really intrigued by this one because I've. Oh, I'm sorry, you should describe what it is first.
Well, it's got a sort of quite sporty-looking, almost plastic cover with a couple of GoFester stripes on it. And the most notable feature is the... I don't know if the paper inside is actually green, but the paper edges is certainly green.
Yeah.
So it looks like a big piece of green tea cake that you might buy in Chinatown. You just want to take a nice bite out of it. Yeah, so it's quite appealing to look at. What is it about it that interests you?
The creases, it has creases in the cover.
Yeah.
That's
what I described as go faster stripes, but you're right, that they are creases, aren't they? They're like gutters.
Yeah, it at least in appearance, it makes it look like it would bend easily in your pocket, like if you stuffed it in your back pocket of your jeans. Because I have that issue with
it reflects against the contours of your butt.
On this one, it always... Although I guess that's flexing the wrong way.
That's why they're called Landis lines. We're going to rename them. Tired of your notebook not conforming to the contours of your buttock? Install Landis lines.
Actually, I guess if you look at that curve, that's probably the exact curve of my buttock.
Oh, man. I'm really delighted to have seen that. So the person who wins the auction when your notebooks go out on the...
When I'm dead.
When you're dead, or when you're just... you're not necessarily dead. You might just be in poverty. Dire straits, and you have to auction off your stuff. Look on the bright side. The person who gets that not only has all of your exquisite drawings and brain droppings, lest we forget, they also have the precise shape of your buttocks.
See, it's on this little way.
Landass.
Oh, Landass full of brain droppings.
I'm really sorry. You were going to say something about the... You know, I wanted this podcast to be so soft. I was listening to Momus's podcast, and his is so gentle and soft, and I thought we could do something like that. And it's all my fault. You're a soft boy, and I've turned it into... Ringham and Godzilla all over again. It's like a Punch and Judy show. It's horrible.
Well, we must go on.
We must go on. We haven't come to the end of the notebooks yet.
Oh, yes,
we have.
Oh.
There's a little picture of Sean. That's the man there.
That's him?
With all of his notebook opinions. Imagine having so many notebook opinions. Wow. What a loser. So, what's the verdict on stiff-flexible? We don't know. We just don't know enough about it. He says stiff yet flexible, which is... I don't think he's seen one either. He's just going on the name. Pages open flat, as traditional with notepads. Black flap can be used as a bookmark. Oh, that's interesting. Made entirely in Italy. Why is that a plus?
I don't know.
Why is that a plus or a minus? What's he on about? Unless to him it's just a mark of quality, like an Italian suit or something.
Maybe.
Plus it's not a moleskin, he says. He's really down on moleskin.
He is.
Minus is, the newer versions don't have the creamy paper or coloured page edges of old. Oh, well, that answers that question. It's just the page edge.
Okay.
Well, I enjoyed his blogs, but he seems to be really, really down on moleskins, but... The way he set it up as his moleskin, it's the definitive notebook, but there's all these challenges. But I don't think any of the challenges are as good as moleskin.
No,
I would personally choose Apica and then Muji and then moleskin.
Okay,
but that is not an objective thing. Yeah, that's just my preference.
And I think you said it earlier about you said something about moleskin being like a Mac or an Apple product, and I think that's. Yeah. I think that's what's so brilliant about it is that it's most things. It drives me crazy if I think that I'm not unique or I see somebody else wearing something that I'm wearing or has the same book that I'm holding.
And
it really drives me crazy because it reminds me how meaningless I am.
Yeah.
But like
you're a market segment. You are young.
Yes,
man.
I am. but what's so great about Apple and I think Moleskine has done the same thing is they've because of the reputation for quality that it doesn't matter that they're ubiquitous, that it's just kind of course you would use that because that's the best that's there and it's you couldn't improve upon it.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter that everyone's using it, why would you use something? I mean
That's really nice. You couldn't improve on it because actually I was originally going to compare it to Starbucks coffee. That to me I think you can improve on Starbucks by quite a long way, but to me it's like the benchmark. It's to me Starbucks is the palatable coffee, and if you need a dead certainty it's there.
Yes,
but you want to try and be a bit more adventurous and get something more interesting.
Yeah,
so but if you drink a Starbucks it's not awful,
it's
not
it's never gonna be bad.
Perfectly good cup, but you kind of want to do better. And so I was wondering if Moleskine was like that, but maybe the analogy doesn't hold up.
I think it's a little, I mean, because we didn't even talk about the other design feature. I mean, like the pocket that's always in the back.
Yeah, and that's nice. And actually, do you find it useful? I was wondering.
Yeah, I always stick, I also find them to be like time capsules.
Because because you leave the things in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't empty them out when I'm done, and I don't transfer the things.
I actually found a box of my old journals from when I was a kid, including two travel journals when I went to America. They were both American travel journals. When I was about 12 or even younger, no, when I was about 10 years old, we went to Florida.
Yeah.
And when I was about 13, we went to California.
Okay.
And so I kept these travel journals.
Whoa.
And there's all these keepsakes in it. So a lot of them are like glued into the page.
Yeah.
But other ones, I've made a pocket in the back. I've like made a pocket to put things in.
Yeah.
So clearly there is a need for it. So you can put people's business cards in there and bookmarks and wow.
Well,
if only I had a Moleskine back then.
What kind of things were in your pockets, do you remember?
I had a thing for, there were lots of leaflets for like tourist attractions.
Okay.
There were, for some reason I had a thing for keeping the napkins from restaurants we went to, if there was a design on them.
Yeah.
So I've actually got some really cool ones with Mickey on from the Disney parks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was actually thinking maybe I should eBay those, they might actually be worth a fortune.
Selling a napkin.
Well, there are some pretty sad people out there.
Yes.
Real obsessives.
Yeah. Yes, they'd do anything.
So yeah, just all little bits of that one. Perhaps the weirdest thing that was in there was the lid of a Snapple bottle.
Got a Snapple lid in there?
Yeah, because
did you step on it first?
I'd never seen the clicky lid before. You know how you get the clicky?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they're obviously commonplace now, but at the time, it was. I guess we just didn't have that design in Britain, so to me, it was this totally alien thing. It's like, why has he got a clicky lid? And I'd just been walking around, clicky, 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 and I just kept it, I guess, and it went into that pocket.
It didn't fit? It wasn't too thick?
It was too thick.
Oh.
But because I was just a stupid kid, I just closed it into the book, and it was keeping it open, you know? But I must have loved it. But funny, I actually threw it away just now, so I kept everything else in the journals, but because
not the Snapple lid,
because it was like, what's the point? And it was such a weird keepsake, and it was keeping the book from closing, so I threw it away.
Was it before they had started putting the facts on them?
Oh, there were no facts on it.
Oh,
no, I should have eBayed that.
You should have. Yeah.
Man, so that's the good argument for the Moleskine pocket.
It is, yeah.
So, okay, so you wouldn't describe it as feature creep when you get things like that. It's not like Moleskine have looked at a minimalist notebook like the Muji one and gone, oh, we can improve this by adding a pocket and a perforated section and facts in the front. You've got like an anthology of information at the front, haven't you?
It's
like a farmer's almanac,
right,
where it's got the calendar and the face of the moon and all that stuff.
And actually, that's a bit feature creep, but I like knowing it's there. I mean, in the calendar.
Although you consulted it the other day, didn't you? And it was useless.
It was wrong.
What was wrong with it?
We were trying. There's a flight duration table with all the major cities in the world, and you could figure out how long approximately it takes to fly from one to another.
Yeah.
And we were talking about visiting Montreal, and I was going to go from Chicago. And so we found Montreal, but Chicago wasn't on the table.
There you go. So Chicago O'Hare, which I think is the third biggest airport on planet Earth, isn't mentioned in the Moleskine. Imagine if you were depending on it and you ended up trapped. Or you're just in Chicago going, but this airport doesn't exist. It would be in my Moleskine. I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Or you'd be stranded and you'd think, oh, it's okay, I have my Moleskine. And then...
Yeah, it feels like an old trusty thing, doesn't it? Like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, how they have the towel.
Yeah.
It's like this guy knows where his towel is. It's like, this guy knows where his Moleskine lives.
That's exactly right.
But it let you down that time.
It did.
-1 point. But unfortunately, still remains the king.
It does.
This podcast is almost at exactly 1 hour now.
Well, maybe that's a sign that we should
end
the boredom.
We'll end the boredom. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this phenomenally dull podcast.
Yes.
Bye-bye from me, Robert Ringham.
Goodbye from me, Landis Blair.